is the epitome of sacrifice for the sake of the oppressed, for the sake of justice. And there's a very famous line he said, someone like me cannot give allegiance to someone like Yazid. So we notice here that he didn't just say, me, I will not give allegiance to him. He said, someone like me. So it's in a way, it's as if though he's referring to, even in future generations, there's always going to be people like Hussein, standing for truth, standing for justice, from all religions, not just even Muslims. And there's always going to be forces like those of Yazid. And so we're meant to basically emulate that and know which sides are those that are on Hussein's side in today's world and those that are on Yazid's side in today's world. And obviously we can see that clearly in Palestine. It's not even a question of, oh, we should investigate. It's open to the whole world to see.
Well, I have the obviously Palestinian flag because Ashura, if you look at Palestine, you look at Ashura, it's the same thing. It's injustice. Imam Hussein stood up for injustice, and what we're doing out here with this very small symbol is we're standing up against injustice. Complete injustice. I mean, it's black and white. There's no gray area in killing innocent people and killing children. There's thousands and thousands of innocent children. You know, last night was Abdullah Radir, you know, Ali Al-Azhar. No, it's there in front of your eyes. You'd be really blind not to see it. So it's our responsibility, each and every one of us, to stand against injustice, even with such a simple thing as this Palestinian flag, which is something we're trying to pass on to the younger generations.
Imam Hussein, with his companion and his family, he sacrificed for the Islam. Palestine people also, they are Muslims, now been genocided with the Israeli regime, and they want also the American, also they support them. That's which a big problem now in this world we live in these days. They start to demolish all the countries of Muslim countries, special Palestine. Now the talk that they want to destroy all the Palestine and all no space for them, and they want to throw them in different countries. This is not right. We should all, we are Muslim, all to be unit and to stop. And alhamdulillah, we got some countries which is like Iran, Islamic Republic of Iran, and Lebanon, and in Palestine also himself, and Yemen, Houthi Yemen. They are all together and they fight for this, the right of Palestine. And hopefully, and we hope all the Muslims that Muslim country of Palestine to be established and built up there. That's what you see the flags of, because they know this, the policy of Imam Hussein is to protect all Muslim anywhere in the world, which is now Iran and other countries, they follow this way.
The Israeli occupation army says it'll begin sending draft notices to Jewish ultra-Orthodox men next week, a step that could destabilize Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's regime and trigger more large protests in the community. The announcement followed a landmark Supreme Court order for young religious men to begin enlisting for military service. Under longstanding political arrangements, ultra-Orthodox men had been exempt from the draft, which is compulsory for most Jewish men.
The government, the High Court, have decided all already Orthodox boys have to go to the army, recruited in the army. The army is not an army for fighting, it's an army which is an indoctrination camp of Zionism, of atheism, against religion. Therefore, our children, our boys, and I have a son on the road over here, will not go to the army, not for 1 minute.
So we only have 5 minutes or so left. A couple of questions to get in there. I'll start with Ali in Ontario. How are the struggles from Karbala mirrored in this bombardment, incessant bombardment of the Gaza Strip?
Well, Karbala is the day that literally awakened the world. It happened more than 1,400 years ago. And people, hundreds of thousands, and not only Muslims, not only Shias, I know from Lebanon and from Palestine and from Iraq and from Syria, where huge numbers of brothers and sisters from the Christian community participating in what we call majalis, the events and the march for justice. I've seen so many videos of ulama from the Sunni school of thought praising Ashura and comparing between Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam and Palestinian women who lost their children, their husbands, during this barbaric genocide by the Israeli state against the Palestinian. If I can sideline, you show the clips of Zion State Army and police chasing religious Jewish who refused to serve in the army. Well, we've seen many footages where they were beaten up and dragged in the street.
Yeah.
And if this is what they do to their own people, and we know what they are doing in Gaza, yeah, that really gave a clear picture about their tyranny and their barbarism and the criminality.
And other than that, Ted, what does that say about the morale among the members of the Israeli occupation force? Are they not bogged down in the Gaza? This is 9 months later, and they thought they were going to go in, purportedly take out Hamas,
clean it out, and then go back home.
And look where we are now.
It goes back to my first point, that totalitarian regimes have a way of self-destructing.
Mm-hmm.
That this is another step in the tiptoe towards the self-destruction of the Zionist state. There is one other thing, is that actually the consciousness of the world community has subtly shifted. But it's not, it's totally lost on the people who were posturing and doing the glad handing and calling for ceasefires and so on. It's completely lost on them.
Mm-hmm.
But the consciousness of the world has moved forward in such a way that what is happening in Gaza is being felt as a pinch point and as a pain point for people who are not Muslim, people who are not Middle Eastern, people who are completely irreligious. All they know is that what's going on is a crime against humanity.
And what do you make of Netanyahu's craving for this larger regional war, trying to expand the war into Lebanon, now that they know, it's clear to many, yeah, that they have lost,
yeah,
this, for want of a better word, war in Gaza, because Hamas is still standing?
How did we describe the mentality of Adolf Hitler? The man is not... he's not thinking correctly. I mean, I decline to say that a head of state is insane, but what he's doing is such a bizarre desire that the average man on the street will tell you what you're looking for is either impossible or foolish.
Impossible or foolish. And Ali, we haven't talked about the atrocities that are taking place in the West Bank, no surprise to any of us, certainly not to you, at the hands of the Israeli occupation force and the settler terrorists who are armed, as we know. It is an important part of the discourse surrounding this genocide. Is that not a fair assessment?
It is. And, you know, the irony is the U.S. and Canada, I'm not sure about the U.K., they impose sanctions against certain settlers group who are brutalizing Palestinians and, you know, taking the land and attacking, you know, ordinary people in the street. But I can't help but to be too political here. Mm-hmm. What's happening in the West Bank is another indication of the failure of the Palestinian leadership in the West Bank. Mm-hmm. Because next to what happened or what is happening in Gaza, and here you have what is going on in the West Bank and the continuation of Israeli raids, you know, Zionist Israeli army raids and the settlers on uncivilian Palestinians. I know, you know, sometimes we have to be diplomatic. But if you allow me, I want to go back to point raised by Brother Ted, yeah, about the powerful Zionist lobby in the U.S. or U.K. Yes, they may be so powerful and when it comes to money and institution, et cetera. But let's keep in mind, you know, the leaders of political parties, yeah, whether in UK or US or France or other places, they are fully complicit and they are cowards that's why, you know, the Zionist lobby is strong. Because if they have any morality to stand on, this will not be taking place. Imagine after 285 days to for now, with the criminal act by Ben Netanyahu, he is visiting the U.S. Congress. Just go figure.
Exact. Go figure. And you're not alone in thinking that, Ali. I'm afraid we're out of time, gentlemen. That is all the time we have for this Gaza Under Attack. My thanks, of course, to Ted Kofi and Dr. Ali Mala, and to you. Until we meet again, continue to keep Palestine in your hearts.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners, and welcome to Islamic Upbringing on IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Zainab, and I'm thrilled to be with you today. This program is dedicated to exploring the vital topics of raising our children according to the guidance of the Quran and the prophetic traditions. We're here to answer your questions and address your concerns and provide you with valuable insights to help you navigate the challenges of bringing up your children. Our aim is to provide you with practical advice and inspiration to help you raise your children in a way that honors their faith and nurtures their character. While joining us today is Brother Mir Abid, a research scholar in the field of psychology. Hailing from Karachi, Pakistan, Brother Abid has earned his degree in psychology from Pakistan itself, and currently he's studying in the Hawza Ilmi of Qom. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
So, Brother Abid, we have been discussing the characteristics of teenagers, and in the last episode we discussed the identity search is one of the characteristics of teenagers, which is a broad topic, and you said that our teenagers should know where they came from, why they came, where they have to go, and how they have to go. That's very, very important. And Brother Abid has been helping us with the insights to help them in the identity search process. Yes, Brother Abid.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you very much. In our previous discussions, we saw how beautifully Imam alayhi salam mentioned and clarified his identity, that who I am, who I really am. Okay. So while, you know, how a person was, this is very important to know. You know, if it had been someone else, yes, he or she had been flattered by that. You know, if someone comes with you and tells you that you are the...
Gives you,
you know,
some more...
You are a leader, you are something special.
Right.
And you forget, you know, what you really are. You get lost in that. But our leader, he's very much clear. And he knows who he is. Okay.
Right.
And... he doesn't get lost in those flattering and, you know, in those sweet words. And he tells that I am one of the servants of the Prophet of Allah.
Right.
And this is the thing, the reason for mentioning this hadith is, this is how we need to clearly know what we are. you know, it at times it's not really, you know, it's neglected in our cultures. You know, the parents are busy in their own things, and you know, they don't really care that this clarity is very important.
Right.
That what I am, and you know, it's as we had said that it has to be internalized. Mm-hmm. What I am, you know, just saying that I'm Muslim and I, for example, I'm servant of Allah, it has to be, you know, at least on the cognitive level,
right?
At least in the belief level, yes, this is the starting, okay?
Right.
I believe I have a clear understanding of this on the understanding level, and from this understanding, when I act according to this belief and the requirements of this belief, that is, you know, I have to be careful about myself.
Right.
I'm not supposed to see anything that I want. I cannot do anything that I want.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to do what Allah wants me to.
And I'm being watched. I will be answering.
Yes. And
I'm accountable.
I'm accountable. And there's, you know, this life hereafter. And let me give you an example of, you know, expressing this identity, the clarity of identity of, you know, one of the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. In fact, one of the family members of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is once again, we'll mention the example of Hazrat Qasim alayhi salam. And, you know, how clear this identity is for him, that standing in that particular situation,
yes,
in the battlefield of Karbala, he introduces himself.
Yes.
You know, and how beautifully he introduces himself. He says, and let me read this Arabic. It's
text.
Beautiful itself, yeah, that in the Arabic text. He says, you know, the enemy is standing. He's, just keep in mind, he's 13 years old, young, you know. It's the time period when most of us are playing and, you know, engaged,
yes,
in our own things.
And what he says, let's hear that after a short break. Dear listeners, don't go anywhere. Stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We have been discussing identity search. And Brother Abed, you were telling us in the event of Karbala, how Hazrat Qasim was very confident about his identity and how he introduced himself. And you're going to read the Arabic text.
So this is a great example of the clarity in identity. And before I read this, this is a very great inspiration for us. And
right,
we can,
for,
you know,
the teens as well.
Yes, while helping our teenagers in developing their identity, we can do tawassul with these personalities, inshallah, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in helping our teenagers develop their identity, the true identity that we need to have.
Right.
Have the identity that is going to help them,
right,
in making decisions, some of the important decisions in their life.
True.
So this is how Hazrat Qasim says that, in tankuruni fa ana ibnul hasan sibtun nabi al mustafa al mu'taman. So if you don't know who am I, then I'm Qasim, son of Hasan, who is son of the, you know, the prophet of Islam. And then he, so this is the basic identity that he's telling, that who am I, who is my father, who is my grandfather. And then he's telling something about his purpose here. So purpose is one of the parts of the, you know, identity.
Identity, okay.
So he says, Haza Husaynun kal asir al murtahan. So this is Hussein that you have surrendered, who is, you know, who you have made prisoner. And he's telling that I am follower of someone, I am lover of someone, that I'm here, and this is my identity.
Yes.
That, and I am coming here to defend him.
Yes.
So, and then he says that بَيْنَ أُنَاسٍ لَا سُخُو سَوْبَ الْمُزَنِ, that may Allah will not give you, Allah will not quench your thirst on that day when everyone will be thirsty.
Oh.
And you know how beautifully he's telling the concept of the concept of leadership that he has by telling,
in fact, using those words, he's actually helping others, the opposition party, to realize their identity, to realize the purpose of their lives. When he's saying that on that day when everyone will be thirsty and you won't be able to quench your thirst, he's giving them this, you know, time to realize what they are doing.
Yes, he is capable of doing this in the very best manner. And he's telling that the impacts of our actions, they just don't end up here. You know, the concept of the life hereafter, how beautifully he's telling how mature this identity is. So if someone whose identity is not developed, we mentioned that the problems that they have, and let's continue our discussion
after a short break. So dear listeners, don't go anywhere, we'll be back in a while.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are with Brother Mir Abed, helping us with a torch of enlightenment towards identity search in the teenagers. Because when we have teens, and even at times adults, have not really realized what they have come for in this world. So this identity search begins in the teenage, and Brother Abed is helping us with the insights how to help them in this identity search.
So from a basic introduction, we are moving towards another phase of this identity problems that a teenager is facing. And inshallah, after a while, we'll move on to the suggestions that we can, the solutions that we can suggest to help them, you know, come up with this kind of a mature identity.
Right.
So, you know, some of the narrations that we have are very foundational and, you know, very that are helping out with some essential problems, some essential questions. So let's return to the narration by Imam Ali alayhi salam, where he was telling us that a teenager is engaged in an internal war, and this war was between the intellect
and the foolishness.
And the foolishness, the superficial thinking, the desires, that part, you know, the part that is common between us and the, you know, other creatures such as animals, for example. So this, this war between these two faculties that we have, the aql, the intellect, and the nafs and the desires, the teenager, as we know, the hormonal changes, the biological side, as we see that the storm of some kind of, you know, this, there's too much dopamine, there is these the sex,
there's
hormones,
right,
that
and
are,
there's,
you know,
also this biological war at the same time.
Yes, so the teenager is facing a tough time, and these changes that creates a kind of, you know, that is a sort of it's a prerequisite towards the identity creation, identity,
right,
development. So he's going after, you know, different ideas, and he's raising different questions. And if this role confusion, you know, we see different people, we find different people who even reached, you know, at the, who are 30 years old, and they still don't know what my, you know, that I'm a husband, and I have certain duties at home, and, you know, they are still in that old, you know, engaged with their friends and those activities. So again, you know, that identity, and a particular part of identity that, for example, I have a certain role. I am a married person.
Right.
And, you know, this identity, the, you know, the crisis, the clarity was not there in, yes, those teenage years. And it's going on, and, you know, it's carried on still till the, you know, adulthood.
Right. Well, thank you so much, brother, for today's episode and those insights you gave us. And we hope our parents and teenagers both will get help with that. Thank you, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Allah, 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 Allah.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می‌کند
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Selected the statements by Imam Khomeini concerning Muharram and the Ashura uprising. Keep Karbala event and the holy name of Hussein ibn Ali alive, for by its survival, Islam would survive. It is the blood of the Master of the Martyrs that sets fire to all the bloods in Islamic nations. The unity of word which became the font of our victory was made so by the effects of these lamentation gatherings and Islamic propagation congregations. Muharram is the month of the great movement of the Master of the Martyrs, peace be upon him, and the Lord of the Pious, who by his uprising against Taghut taught humanity how to beat and build and how to annihilate cruelty and the despots by offer of lives and sacrifices. This is the preamble to Islamic teachings for our nation till the end.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. Well, in this program, we try to recite some sentences and viewpoints and parts of speeches of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, who was the great founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and then try to elaborate and talk about some points that this great character has made in order for us to make use of these points and lessons in our daily lives as Muslims. About the month of Muharram, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh said, Muharram is the month of great movement of the Dawiyan, of the martyrs, and the leader of God's saints. By his uprising against the Taghut, Imam Hussein alayhi salam taught mankind how to fight and to build. Well, this viewpoint of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi is about the lessons of the tragedy of Ashura and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. You know, the custom of mourning on Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is not just the narration of an historical event. In fact, it serves as an open university in which professional educators give lectures on a range of topics and throw light upon the various facets of Islam. Topics like Usul al-Din, Ahkam, Akhlaq, Islamic history, worship, business matters, Quran, traditions, fiqh, and etc. are propagated among the people in this time. It is as these congregations that practical guidance is given in the art of debating, public speaking, and counseling. The secrets of a successful life in this world and in the hereafter are divulged over here. While delivering the lecture, the speaker should use those words which are easy for the new generation to understand and at the time maintain the dignity and decorum of the pulpit from where he is delivering his speech.
Grieving has always been a way to express sadness, a way to somehow find sense for a loss, a process that may just lessen the burden of intense sorrow. But sometimes that loss is greater than any other in life. Sometimes that deep feeling of pain will never fade, all because of a tragic event. We set off to the ancient province of Yazd, one of the oldest regions in the world. The region of wind towers, mud brick houses, and winding lanes. The center for religious ceremonies and festivals. A place filled with ancient religious sites and worshippers who live with honor and dignity. These people have been mourning the loss of a great martyr for centuries, an eternal pain that has wounded their hearts and bruised their souls. When the month of Muharram arrives, the people of Yazd grieve. They come together in mosques and lament the death of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, the man who gave up his everything for a greater cause, the ever eternal martyr who is known as the seeker of justice. For many years, the people of Yazd have been mourning the tragic death of Imam Hussein, all to show their love and respect for a man who stood up against injustice corruption and tyranny. The mourning ceremonies held for Imam Hussein is quite varied and different in various parts of Iran. Each region has its own unique way for grieving, based on the culture of the people. The people of Yazd mourn for their Imam in their own special way. Each one has been passed on from one generation to the other, and today a variety of these religious ceremonies are held in different cities and villages of the province. In Mehriz, one of the oldest habitations of this area, people mourn for Imam Hussein in their own unique way. One of them is Alam Gardani, where they use a wooden pole dressed with cloth with flags on top that symbolizes the truth and bravery. In the ancient village of Khabidak, people come together to form a big circle, and while they tie their arms together and move anti-clockwise, they chant poems lamenting the death of their imam. This ritual is called Jushdore and has been around for more than 150 years. In the city of Ashkezar, people make a wooden structure, a symbolic representation of the imam's coffin, and carry the nakhl from one place to another. This is called Nakhl Yardani. They also perform passion plays that reenact the death of Imam Hussein. These plays are called Taziyeh. Another common way of grieving here in Yazd is chest beating, where people beat their chests while elegies are sung by a poet known as the Nohe Khan. These elegies are always eloquent and based on the truth. They're filled with lament and grief, as well as a whole lot of praise and respect for the imam. Joseph is an archaeologist who has a lot of interest in Iran's religious culture, customs and traditions. He has come to Iran many times during the past 6 years, but this year he managed to see the Muharram ceremonies here in Yazd from up close. Imam Hussein was slain, his children in pain, and all women in chains. The sound of cries, the orphan sighs, the land of Karbala filled with blood and flames, everyone in agony and cruelty to blame. Travel is to learn new things. A journey has so much to teach us and a lot to offer. Those who seek the truth find this path as an opportunity to gain a new understanding. The travelers who come to Yazd in the month of Muharram intend to learn more about these religious ceremonies and explore new meanings and concepts. They take part in the rituals to understand who the Imam was and why people love and respect him so much.
I come from Poland, from Europe. This is my second time in Iran. I came back after 3 years. I'm Christian, Catholic, and this time I'm very happy to participate in Muharram and in Ashura. Because for us as Europeans, this is a completely different experience.
When I was sitting watching the ceremony and listening to all the men sing and beat their hearts with their hands, it was very moving, made me cry. It was very, very spiritual moment for me.
Love and admiration connect people together beyond borders. Here, nationality, language, religion, and beliefs fade away, and only affections tie the hearts together, one by one.
I'm very interested in the history and the culture of Iran, and so we were traveling around the country, and for us it was very important to see the ceremony about the Imam Hussein.
The people's love for Imam Hussein is special and endless. In this sea of admiration, respect and loyalty, differences fade away.
I'm Bilge, from Turkey, and it's first time in Iran, and I came here for especially the Ashura ceremony. I saw that ceremony before in Istanbul, we had as well, but it's not like huge this. It's so traditional, and it's really impressive because this is a very small village here, but many people came here for that ceremony. And it's really organized. It.
I think I'm happy to be here, to see what they do here. And I think I respect the religion here.
Although about 1,400 years have passed from the tragic death of Imam Hussein and his companions, his loyal followers come together every year to keep the flames of his love burning and his memory alive. The onlookers stand, captivated by the people's love and faithfulness.
Before coming here, I thought that people who are not Shia Muslims are not allowed to participate in this ceremony. But now I am just overwhelmed by this unique experience. I've never had, I've never participated in the ceremonies like that before.
The amount of respect that these people have for their Imam can truly be felt by one's heart and soul. No matter what your religion is or with what language you speak, you can still feel the deep affection that the people have. Joseph has tried so many times to see the Muharram ceremonies in Iran, but each time his trip has been cancelled. This time, though, he's been lucky.
So we are here in Ashkazar, and it's very, very impressive. I feel really a big emotion because here it's very huge. And as you can see, a lot of people, and it's really, really impressive. Really impressive how still today Imam Hussein gives to people the sense, the idea of freedom, and also of the sacrifice that each man must do to be free and to purchase his own desire and his own goals, and also the idea of justice, because yes, Imam Hussein was against the bad government or the right government. So I think it's a really important message for the people today, not just for the Muslim countries, but also for all around the world, I think. I'm not saying this. I read that also, I don't know, Mahatma Gandhi and also writers and philosophers wrote about the Imam Hussein. So I think it's a big figure for all the humanity.
During his journey from Mecca to Karbala, Imam Hussein stated, "The purpose of my journey is to expose the anti-Islamic and tyrannical rule of Yazid, to encourage the performance of good deeds and prohibit what is forbidden and unlawful, and to resist and stand up to repression and tyranny. My only objective is to support the Holy Quran and to revive genuine Islam." Imam Hussein gave up his life for his mission, one that promoted values like freedom, sacrifice, bravery, trust, patience, perseverance, devotion, and sincerity. Imam Hussein's story is not just for the Shia Muslims, it's for the entire humanity. People also give away free food to charity on these mournful days. The food is considered holy for anyone who eats it or makes it. It's a kind of offering made to God in honor of Imam Hussein's martyrdom. The Imam Husseini House in Yazd invites people in for free food every year in Muharram. This 200-year-old house is still the main center for holding religious ceremonies related to Imam Hussein. It's a place where people come together to mourn for their imam and show their respect to him. The Battle of Karbala took place between a small group of supporters and relatives of Imam Hussein and a larger military force of Yazid I, the Umayyad Khalif. It was a battle between good and evil, between life and death. A tragic event that led to the killing of Imam Hussein and his companions. The enemy not only deprived Imam and his people of water, but also looted and burned the tents, stripped the women of their jewelry, and plundered the dead bodies. Imam Hussein sacrificed his life and the lives of his children and companions to save humanity from the agents of hate, tyranny and oppression. He intended to stand against the newly introduced monarchic system of government and to expose the misleading path introduced in the name of Islam. He wanted to shake the Muslim conscience and revive dignity and honor once again. Imam Hussein stepped up and offered 72 lives of his kin to save Islam and spread the universal message of truth, justice, and love for humanity. He fought with grace, valor, and courage. His name will always shine in history like no other. Imam Hussein's message of defiance against oppression and dictatorship is relevant for all times and applicable for a broader audience for generations to come.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Darsi with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll discuss some of the contents of chapter Naml, the 27th chapter of the Holy Quran, as well as some of the commentary points of the verses. Brothers and sisters, we have reached the 56th verse of chapter Naml. Let's listen to this verse.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
فَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا إنهم أناس يتطهرون.
But the answer of his people was not except that they said, "Expel the family of Lot from your city. Indeed, they are people who keep themselves pure."
So in this verse, dear listeners, we see that the people of Lot actually are trying to answer their prophet. فَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا أَخْرِجُوا آلَ لُوطٍ مِّن قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. But the answer of his people was nothing except they said, أَخْرِجُوا آلَ لُوطٍ مِّن قَرْيَتِكُمْ. Drive out the people of Lut from your city. إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. Verily, they are the people who seek to be pure. So, as you were with us in the previous episode, we mentioned the story of the people of Lut. So, those people were the kinds of ones that actually committed indecency and sodomy before the public eyes. And this is their situation. So they were, as the Holy Quran said, they were a people that were ignorant. قَوْمٌ تَجْهَلُونَ, the Holy Quran said. Now, how did they answer? How did they actually refer back to their prophet? How did they answer back to their prophet when he invited them to purity? They said nothing except drive out the people of Lut from your city. Why? إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. Because they want to be pure. Now, since wrongdoers do not have any acceptable logic before the divine prophets, they always stick to force. They use force against them. Now, you may remember the former discussions with the strong logic of Lut, the divine prophet, in front of those polluted people, explained that how he actually dissuaded them from the hideous act of sodomy
by his reasonable and eloquent statement. He showed them that this act is the consequence of their ignorance. He showed them, he taught them, he reminded them the fact that they know how indecent this act is, yet they continue doing it. So they were unaware of the law of creation and all human values. What kinds of animals can you find in the whole world to do such indecent act? Even today, dear listeners, we have many countries who have accepted this action as something lawful, but they do not pay attention to this fact that this is against the law of creation. It is against the law of whole universe. What kinds of animals, what kinds of insects, what kinds can you find that they do this indecent act? It is useless. So now we will see the answer of this polluted nation to the logical statement of Prophet Lut.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
So the Holy Quran says that the answer of this polluted nation to the logical statement of Prophet Lut is this: فَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا. The answer of his people was not, except that they said. This means that they didn't have anything at their disposal. They didn't know anything to answer with. They did not have anything to answer with, and they did not know anything in this regard except force. إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا أَخْرِجُوا آلَ لُوطٍ مِّن قَرْيَتِكُمْ. Drive out the people of Lut from your city. This answer is an implication to the low level of their thought. This shows how extraordinary they will fail of their ethical affairs. This shows that they not only wanted Prophet Lut to be exempted from their society, but also the people of Lut as well. أَلَ لُوطٍ مِّن قَرْيَتِكُمْ. So, yes, in the environment of polluted ones, chastity is a crime and defect. So they want all of these people to be driven out of their society. And it is really interesting that they mention why we need to drive them out. إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. The chaste and the modest ones are to be driven out. They have to be driven out because they are the people who seek to be pure. So the chaste and modest ones, like Prophet Yusuf, are put in prison. And the household of the Divine Prophet, because of their chastity and avoidance from pollution, those are the ones who are banished. While the people like Zulaykha are free and they possess ranks. This is the nature of this world, dear listeners. This is the nature of polluted water. This is the nature of flood. As the Holy Quran says, there are some floods that you may see in the earth. But above water, something is hiding and something is covering the water. It is like a foam. It covers water, but it has nothing inside it. This is the nature of batil. It stays on top, but it will diminish. We'll discuss more in the next episode. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.com.